supposed to be for the very women. And so today we remember and we celebrate the myrrh-bearing women, which is wonderful because, you know, there's this whole idea that, you know, women don't have a very important place in the life of the church, and I don't know where that really came from. Most of these people hadn't been reading Holy Scripture because, obviously, the Virgin Mary, of course, is the perfect example of the exaltation of womanhood, truly. And so not only do we have the Virgin Mary, and the fact that she was purified and sanctified to such a degree that she could have God living in her womb and survive the power of his divinity. And not only survive it, but be purified by it and sanctified by it. And so women are very, very important place in our holy faith. And today we have the myrrh-bearing women, whose names are Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Joanna, Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, Susanna, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and Mary, the mother of the apostle James. And in addition to the myrrh-bearing women, we have the righteous Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And so the gospel begins, now when evening had come because of the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent counselor, a council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. So just in these few little two verses, actually, we have this this scene. Here they are in preparation of the Passover day and before the Sabbath. And Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the council, that is, a Jewish council. And so he was absolutely Jew, but secretly he came to believe in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this was obviously very complicated because if he had admitted to this openly prior to this point, there was a good chance that he would have suffered persecution and been driven out of the council and perhaps even killed. And so, on the one hand, here he was, a counselor performing his services in governing of the Jewish people. On the other hand, he believed in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says in the gospel, waiting for the kingdom of God. And as you all know, this is my favorite theme, kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It's not a socio-political organization. What it is the mystery of the Lord, of the life of Christ in our hearts, that radiates out from us, and we hope and pray that we should receive the kingly power of God, as it were, and that power then manifests communities, we call them churches these days, and then whole churches, and then the whole phenomenon of the spread of the Holy Gospel from the point of, the life of Christ and his crucifixion and then ascension. And so, waiting for the kingdom of God is a spiritual reality. And he wanted to participate in this. And it took courage. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him, he had been dead for some time. And the accounts are that our Savior died within 3 hours of his crucifixion, that he had reposed and at that point. And when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And obviously, Pilate must have had great respect for Joseph of Arimathea, in that he received him and obviously understood that Joseph was, in a sense, entering into a whole new phase of his life, which would opposition to the Jewish community. And so Pilate gave the body to Joseph. And then Joseph bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen. And it says, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock. And the Holy Tradition says that the tomb that the Savior had been laid in was, in fact, Joseph's, his Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. It was a new tomb. He never had had anyone in this tomb. And so he laid him, and then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he lay. And this whole concept of a tomb is, I think, a very beautiful concept in a sense. The tomb is a place where we lay those who have died and commit them to the earth. But I think it also, I think it has the capacity to, if we think about this, that in a sense, it really is a challenge whether or not we are going to roll a rock, as it were, in front of our very being and live in isolation from the glory of God, or whether this tomb is going to be opened, the tomb of our inner life, which is in darkness, and this tomb is going to be opened. And we are going to receive the Word of God and the power of God into our inner lives and for transformation. And what's very wonderful about this account, we know what's going to happen. And what we know is going to happen is our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is going to rise from the tomb that he sanctified. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, may he sanctify our inner life, which we hide from him, and we hide from his grace, from his power, because we know that our inner life is filled with much darkness, and many passions, and in fear, and in pride too, but in fear, we hide our inner life. And may the tomb of our inner life be open, and may the light of Christ shine within us. And so, So Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, observed where he lay. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. And there was this understanding, and probably, I'm sure it had a material basis for it. They had spices and oils and myrrh, and they would anoint the body of that person who reposed, and actually the spices and so on would stabilize the flesh of the person who reposed, so that he would not corrupt as quickly. And obviously, this behind this action, it's an action of really profound love. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they were people of standing, social standing and means. And so the oils and spices they bought were brought with them, were a certain purity. And here they go to anoint the Savior. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So this is an amazing thing. Here's the preparation for the burial, and yet when you go to the tomb, the tomb is empty. There's an angel there standing who announces the Savior has risen from the dead. And may we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, embrace the resurrection. May we embrace it in the depths of our hearts, so that we don't repose, as it were, with everything that's below us, with all of the darkness that's within us is remains. What we pray for is that even as our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead and revealed his glory and his power and went before them, so that we may participate in the resurrection. And I think very clear that the point of the resurrection is not just that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but that we can rise from the dead, that we can be regenerated, and we don't actually have to wait till the end of our lives, that we can be regenerated even in this life by embracing our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, the most holy Mother of God, the holy apostles, and all the saints, and opening our hearts and minds to the truth of the Holy Gospel and to receive it not just in our minds, but in the depths of our being, that our hearts might be sanctified and become holy, and that we will be, even as our Lord in Christ was, in a small way, a light to those who see salvation and glory in this very complicated world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen. Christos anesti.
Christos
anesti.
Christ anesti. Christ anesti.